Okay, turn with me tonight to Luke chapter number 16. We have here the parable of the unjust steward. And the unjust steward was not doing a good job taking care of his master's goods. He was not doing the job, and he heard that he's going to get fired. And so he went to all his master's debtors, and he made a deal with them. And he cut their bills by a significant amount. And and then when he gave account to his boss, the boss, the owner, commended him. Verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. What did he do? He prepared for his future. By cutting the bills, now these men owed him something. And he didn't want to go out and dig ditches. And so he would rather have go and be these people be indebted to him and take them under their wings. And even though what he did was wrong, he was thinking about the future. He was thinking about the future. And the Bible says the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. You know, there's a difference between the children of God and the children of this world. The people of this world have no future. This is all they have. They just have this world. But the believer has eternity. The believer not only has eternity, but they have all of this life to prepare for eternity. But he said that many in this world are wiser than the children of light. In verse 9 he says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now we see kind of a parallel to this, because Paul wrote to Philemon, and he said, this slave of yours has been saved, and you need to forgive him of all that he owes you. And he said to him, now you need to do that because that's right, and also because you owe me your own soul. Apparently, Paul had led Philemon to the Lord. Paul had given Philemon the most important thing they could ever give somebody. Gave him the gospel and had the power of God upon his life, and the Spirit of God was there, and he got saved. And this is really what what the Lord is talking about. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon, that's money, of unrighteousness. Now, one of the things we could say here one of the things, the most important things we're supposed to do with our money is connected with spiritual things. Our money can be used in many different ways for our future spiritual life. And how we use and spend our money has a lot to do with what our future spiritual life will be like. Now, it may not seem so profound, but what you do with your money, just like this man, he was commended. The Lord was using this to exhort God's people to use their money to prepare for their spiritual future. Now, we aren't talking about buying your way into heaven. Obviously, say people in this room are saved, they know that that isn't what the Bible's talking about. It has nothing to do with that. This is talking about using your money for your future, for your spiritual future. Now, let's think about that a little bit. You know, some of you, and I hope all of you, will be in a good Bible college. But you know, if you're going to prepare for the Lord's work, guess what? You're going to have to invest a lot of money. And it's not going to be like being a doctor or a lawyer. You aren't going to get much money in return. You're not going to get much money in return. And so someday you're going to be spending a lot of your time and you're going to spend probably all of your money to go to school. And you will be getting, and with that, there will be very little promise of monetary return. There will be the promise of God meeting all your needs, but there is no promise at all of anything beyond that. You know, how you spend your money tells a lot about your future, and it also talks a lot about your spirituality. You know, a person who is battling selfishness or materialism or pleasure or worldliness, they can't quite handle working a job and taking all of that money and spending it on their education so they can serve the Lord. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. That appears like their flesh that they're throwing everything away, and what happens is they begin to get a bitter spirit. They get a bitter spirit because they're having to give their money to something that they would rather not give it toward. And they get bitter at the Lord. Now, on the other hand, if a person is spiritual minded, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? They're thinking, I am taking this money and I'm spending it on the most important thing in my life. I'm investing in my life and I'm investing and preparing myself to do God's will. You know, when you look at it as an investment in your spiritual life, then it's not hard to fork over the money. It's not hard to work long hours. It's not hard to, so to speak, throw away your money. But there has to be this viewpoint that my money has a purpose. My money has a purpose. My money has a spiritual purpose. Now you think about that. You know, in life, what do you do with your money? Now, certainly, money has to be used to buy our necessities. Now, you know, that's pretty significant. And I don't know if any young people, there's most of the young people here you're not to the point where you have to pay for your necessities. You know, mom and dad pay for your heat, they pay for your light, they pay for your washing, they pay for your car transportation and all sorts of other stuff. But someday you have to pay for necessities, and you know that'd take a lot of money. Now, some people are so selfish they would rather waste their money and let go, you know, forget about the necessities, let the government pay for that. Money can be spent on pleasure or material things. You know, that's what most people think. Most people think that they have to have pleasure. Most people think they have to have material things. Now, I think that when we talk about spending, and I realize this has to be watched over by the Lord, but you know, really, when people spend, they should be spending in the area of productivity, something that will produce something. Okay? And that's the opposite of material things or pleasures. Now, that can get out of hand. I remember one time my dad went to visit his brother in California, and his brother worked for Pratt and Whitney, and his hobby was carpentry, and he had more tools in his workshop than twice as many tools as my dad, who did it for a living. Now, he didn't buy all those things for productivity. He just bought those things to have them. But, you know, what do we do with our money? What do we have to do with our money? Do we have to have pleasure? You know what? If you have to have pleasure, you will never have enough money. Because pleasure is never satisfied. If you have to have things, there's always going to be some new thing. You know that? There's always going to be some new thing. And you won't have it. And you'll have to waste your money on something that really means nothing. You know, just go down the trash on big trash days, how many things people have. And they have to start throwing them away because they have too many things. There's no place to put them. You know? But so here the Bible talks about, well, you know what? Money tells us a lot about our future. What are you saving for? That's a good question. What are you saving for? Are you saving for pleasure? Are you saving for things? Are you saving for investment? Are you saving for responsibilities? What are we planning on spending our money for? I mean, that tells us all about us. You know, my observation as a pastor is I have seen, sad to say, people turn from the Lord because of money. It was hard for them to give their money to go to school. It was hard for them to spend their money on something that really their heart didn't think was that important. You know, what is more important? And I'm just throwing out some things here. Is your education more important than a bike? Praise the Lord, nowadays you can go to a rummage sale and get a bike for a buck and a half. But maybe that's not good enough. But you know, when I was growing up, that wasn't the way it was. But you know, I remember I bought my first brand new bike when I was in eighth grade. It cost me $20. You know that? $20. I am sure that I had at least $1,000 in the bank. But I didn't buy a brand new bike until I was in eighth grade. When I felt, and this is my parents' teaching, when I felt I could afford to not put all that money away for my education. And I could take some of that money and buy a bike. You know, what are we living for? What is important to us? The Bible tells us that our money tells us a lot about our future. What are we using? What is the purpose of the purposes behind our money? Now, for many young people, they need Proverbs 21, verse 20, which says, the foolish man, what? Spendeth it up. Boy, just think of all the stuff that you can spend your money on. Okay? Now, I know there's nobody here that smokes, so I can talk about smokers. But you know what? I don't know how much a pack of cigarette costs. What does it cost? $5? I don't know. How much? $7. Oh, man. Some people smoke a pack a day. Some, if it's two or three, you know, did you ever multiply 20 times 365? Did you ever multiply it out? That's a lot of money in 1 year. You know, under those circumstances, in 3 years, if you had that much money saved up at 20 years of age and you never touched it, you'd be a millionaire before you retired. Just by not smoking. But you know, you think about a bad investment, right? I mean, what a bad investment. And just think of all the stuff that you can spend money on. But do you realize that the movie and music and fashion industry have an ongoing relationship? So young people waste their money. So you have to buy all this stuff. You know, you have to buy all this stuff to keep up to date. Wow. But our money. Okay, what are we going to do with our money? And so what we do with our money has a lot to do with our future. It has a lot to do with our values. It has a lot to do with our character. What does the Bible say? The foolish man, what spendeth it up? Why is he foolish? Not only because he's foolish and doesn't think, but because he doesn't have what? Discipline. Right? The Bible says the wise man is strong. You know? The wise man says, nope, I'm not going to spend it. Nope, I don't need that. Nope, I have a higher purpose for my life. You know, I just think that it would be somewhere, I don't know where it fits in this sermon, but you know, I think that we have a misguided idea of things. One of the misguided ideas is that somehow young people have the idea, and parents, I hope that you don't think this way. I think some do. That when time for your kids to go to college, it's your job to send them to college. Where did you get that from? Your job to send them to college? Uh-uh. Now, it is your job to teach them how to work. And it's your job to teach them how to spend their money correctly. And it's your job to teach them to save. And it's your job so that they have the right values in life. And so they will take all that hard-earned money and they'll spend it on something that will prepare them to use their life for God. Now that's the job of the parent. But you know, young people, you shouldn't be thinking that, you know, I'm going to take it easy in life, have a great life, and when I'm 18, you know what? My parents, they're going to send me to college. You know, you talk about values. Now think about that. What is that saying? That's saying, you know what? I can take my money and I can spend it on myself. And I can take my money and I can buy stuff and I can spend it for pleasure, or maybe you don't even have enough money for that. Well, that's okay. That's good. It's good to be without money. It's a lot better to be without money than have money. Boy, it's a lot better. But you know, if all your life you're thinking that your money is for you, and then all of a sudden someday in life the pressure's going to be on and you're going to give your money for God, guess what? There isn't a magic button that all of a sudden you push and all of a sudden you become selfless. It doesn't work that way. There's not a magic button that all these years you've been living for yourself, and someday you're going to go to Bible college and you're going to give all your money so you can get an education, so you can go out and earn very little, and so you can serve God. There isn't a magic button that changes from being selfish to selfless. We need to understand that. And the Bible says, boy, our money is a whole lot to do with preparing for the future. Preparing for the future. That's what, talk about Kenya. They'll tell you in Kenya, and this is like this in Burma, we were there too. When people get money, in Kenya, even Christian people, you know what they do with it? They spend it all. And then, if somebody up country dies, they don't have any money to get a bus ticket to go up country to the funeral, and so they go to the missionary and said, you know what, I don't have any money. I don't have any money at all. Won't you? I mean, it's your job to have compassion on me. And you would be less than a Christian to give me, not to give me money so I can go to my mother's funeral. You know, of course, in the quotation, you don't, in the the parentheses, they don't talk about they just had all this money a few weeks ago, and you know their pockets were red hot, you know, and so they had to spend it on something. They don't know how to save. And you know what? That's why in Africa, a lot of pastors go to the missionary who will give them the most money to be in the Lord's work. Whether it's a Southern Baptist, or whether it's a charismatic, or whether it's a Mormon, or a Jehovah's Witness, or whoever, who's ever passing out the money, that's who they want to be associated with. So, we talk about our purchases, okay? And so it talks about what are we preparing for? What are our values? What kind of discipline are we exercising in our life? And what is our attitude about these things? Okay, now let's talk real quickly here. I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about buying, I wanted to talk about borrowing, and I wanted to talk about saving. Okay? But we probably won't get there. Buy something that has a future. Why do you think I don't have a 2010 Corvette? Number one, I couldn't fit in it. Number two, I couldn't get out of it. Number three, if I did, my back would be broken. And number four, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. Why would you waste your money? You know what? You can buy a $50,000 truck. Boy, there's some nice ones out there. You can buy a $50,000 truck. You can sign on the dotted line, and you can walk out of that showroom, and now, in 10 seconds, it's worth $40,000. Now, you talk about a waste of money. That's a big waste of money, isn't it? What could you do with $10,000? Whew. Wouldn't it be nice if you could buy a car that increased in value and you could still use it? You know, the general rule is don't buy something that's going to decrease in value if you don't have the cash to buy it. Don't buy something that's going to decrease in value if you don't have the cash to do it. That's a simple rule. Buy necessities, and then the other things that you buy, try to buy things that are going to either earn you money or increase their value. Purchasing. Bible says we need to be wise. Should we save money? We'll talk about that some other time. We do. The wise man retaineth riches. I'm glad that we borrowed money to build our building. I'm glad we did. But, you know what? We can't do anything until it's paid off. We can't do anything until it's paid off. Because why? The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. And we need to follow biblical rules. Okay? Well, let's... hopefully, we've learned something about purchasing. Okay? What'd you learn about purchasing tonight, Jonathan? What'd you learn?
Be careful.
Be careful what you buy. Okay? What did you learn, Jacob? Pardon me? Buy something that increases in value. Buy something that you can that can make you money. Okay? Buy that. Don't try not to buy the things that will throw away your money. And what's the most important thing you can use your money for? Spiritual things. That's the biggest long-term investment, is spiritual things. Okay? Father, we thank you for these simple truths tonight and pray that you would help us to learn principles of real life and talk about the practical things of something that each one of us touch almost daily. Money. And Lord, sometimes we forget that there's a direct relationship between our money and our heart and our future. And I pray that, Lord, that we will have a heart to learn these important lessons in Jesus' name.